One, two, a three, and to the four. Snoop Doggy Tran and Trace are knocking at your door. How we going, big boy?
Good, man, good.
Episode 3, here we are. I'm doing fine. Loving life. Yeah. COVID-19, all about it.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it nice being a hermit?
It's getting lizard people like, you know. Like,
yeah.
You're losing your sense of how to talk to people and shit. But yeah, this is good. This is good.
Well, at least we get to feed our movie pleasures.
Yeah.
You know, without any sort of judgment from the general public. You know? Yeah. I'm sitting on my couch every day eating my twisties, enjoying my fucking films. You got a problem, society? Because I'm saving lives right now.
Yeah, socially responsible.
Definitely.
So, what's on the cards, man? Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems, and what a gem, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Fucking
man.
Hell. Yeah.
Man.
Talk to me about this
movie, it's like eating bloody stress, anxiety, and excitement for breakfast with no milk.
Yes, I fully agree. 100%.
You know, it's fucking rough. It's a good ride, but jeez.
It's a great ride. And like, I saw it, I always look at times, like, how long's this film gonna take of my life, and I saw 2:15. I'm like, holy Jesus!
You know, that's an interesting argument, because that's what I do.
Yeah,
because when I'm getting ready to like rent a movie or something like that, I'll like research it. I'll look how long it is. Like, how much of my attention do I have to invest in this? And then that's where it's worth. It's not even about the money value anymore. It's about time.
Definitely time. And like also, as you're a hardworking man, you're always on the go. You're the go-go sort of guy, new millennial. And like, time is so valuable. You're thinking, where am I going to fit this movie into my life?
Because you don't want to walk away from a movie thinking, I could have spent that time doing something better.
Productive.
Like playing fucking Doom.
Yeah, so 2:15, I'm like 2 hours 15. Like, this is a long haul, but
it's a big
ask. Feels quick, this movie. He's always on the roll, Howard Ratner.
It's like, fast-paced,
he's hustling.
Claustrophobically shot.
Yes,
you know, like with the, it's anxiety-inducing, man. Like it puts you on your edge, and it makes you really nervous for the guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
he's always in a tense circumstance, trying to work his way out. Isn't it nice to go back to just traditional sort of shots? You know, we come from Bad Boys, which was a fast-paced, quick.
Yeah.
Low, stylish
Dutch angles.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah. And then we went to 1917 for our second episode, which was like this new frontier, and it was monotonous in a good way because you needed it to be, right?
Well, 1917 is an interesting one because, like, for people that don't know how they do sort of technical camera work, because I showed Twee, 1917,
and Twee is your lovely
partner, and she normally is the balancer.
Right.
Between me being a pretentious fuck about movies.
Of course you are.
To like the normies.
She's a normal person.
Yeah,
you're right.
She's just a reasonable person.
Yeah, I know.
So you show her movies and I don't watch the movie. I watch her watching the movie.
Right. Yeah.
And because I know what bits are coming up and then I turn around and I look at her.
How's she going to react?
And she couldn't take her eyes off the screen. She described it as if she was playing a video game.
Ooh, I like that.
You know,
that.
That's how she described it.
Yeah,
like, she was like, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. And she was just following. Because you realize that if you don't know anything about the technical side of it, what happens is these tricks, these camera angles, they play onto you in a subconscious level.
They draw you in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's how I knew it was a good movie. Because how it suckered these normies. You basic bitch.
No, that's cool, though. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so normally Twee's my decider if I'm getting a little bit too full of myself.
I agree, and it's nice to get all those other perspectives from people. Even with this one, with Uncut Gems, I was asking people to watch it with me, obviously because I'm socially anxious. It never happened. No one wants to watch a film with me, but you know, it would have been nice to get a few more points of contact with how this affected people. And I had heard some other people, like I was asking around what people think, and they sort of said, all right, what you were saying, anxious. It made them feel anxious all the time.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you are going to be exploring some emotions that you don't really want to volunteer for.
Yes.
Like, these are not emotions that you really want, you know? You're uncomfortable. You're fucking nervous.
And the thing about Howard as well is, like, you kind of want to like him. You see some things where you're like, oh, this guy's trying hard, you know? He is trying hard and trying to please a lot of people. But
you're only rooting for him because it's Adam Sandler. You know, because on paper, he's pretty much a piece of shit.
He is an absolute trash dog and untrustful. And but, what's truth and what's a lie? And there's a lot of gray areas that come into play.
You know that type of dude that talks to you and like you both know that he's lying.
Yeah.
And he just continues on and you just let him go anyway. Because trying to weasel him out of the lie is just way too fucking much effort.
He's committed to the lies.
He's so stuck in the lie. And you both know he's bullshitting. Like,
Yeah,
he's that type of dude.
What's hard for me to understand about Howard and his character is I think how he got into the situation is he's constantly making the risk. He's a chronic gambler to my eyes.
Because he's in it for like the thrill of the bet.
The adrenaline the of, thrill the bet. Of the bet. Exactly what he's come to realize.
The thing is, like, I think money with him, it's just a way to keep score.
Right? It's fluid, right?
Yeah, it's just a way to keep score.
Yeah.
It's the thrill of the bet that he's in it for. And he loves it. As soon as... The thing is...
He's a mover and shaker. He's constantly...
He walks that line between, like, frustratingly fucking annoying.
Yeah.
He does walk that line. And I can see where people might have their problems with this character.
Is it because they can't grasp him and understand him? Like, they always feel like they're getting played.
It's because I think they do understand. Like, because you're watching a guy... Who, as soon as he has enough to get him out of trouble, he puts himself right
fucking
back in
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And it's like,
oh, dude.
But there's two reactions that come out of this. It's either, fucking look at this idiot. Or you're like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
You do that. And when you go, oh, come on, man, that means you're on his side. You're rooting for him. And you're going to love this movie.
I agree, man. I think for Adam Sandler, it's sort of he has played a few serious characters, but generally he's the lovable idiot, isn't he?
Yeah. But it turns out he's actually like a pretty good actor.
I really had some good moments.
When he's been given like some decent material, like, you know, like Rain Over Me, Punch Drunk Love, Spanglish.
Yes.
They're all pretty decent performances.
Agreed.
And but you forget all that in between the Jack and Jules, that's my boy. Dude,
and I was thinking
the
about
grown
this.
Ups one and two.
I'm thinking about this coming to you. I'm like, I'm one of those guys who loves Adam Sandler for all the goofy shit and for all the more dramatic roles. And Jack and Jill, I've rewatched that and people are like disgusted.
How do
me.
You?
I just fucking
How
enjoy
you?
This.
I can't.
It's stupid. I don't know.
Dude, and you're talking about like movies that borderline frustration and annoyance, like. That movie beats Uncut Gems any day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, definitely.
How do you get through that?
I think I was just trying to like make this a logical argument in my mind. Like, if you look at the, you know, the drama, right? You got drama and you got comedy as the face mask of theater.
Yeah.
So it's like yin and yang, right? Like if you can overpower one and like love too much comedy, and I think it's a bad thing. Or you can love too much drama, which is also just as bad, right?
Yeah.
So I think if you can enjoy some comedy, enjoy some drama, you're in the best of both worlds.
Dude, what kind of horrible dramatic shit are you watching that Jack and Jill needs to be the balance? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're right. I don't even watch that much drama.
What are you watching? Are you just
more...
watching Schindler's List over and over again? Like, what the fuck? Or The Road? Like, if you watch The Road,
oh my God.
I get why... Watching Jack and Jill might be that fucking relief. Like, I get it.
Isn't The Road, we walk out depressed.
I don't understand anybody that can watch The Road a second time.
I wouldn't want to.
That movie, I've seen that once, 10 years ago.
It's so weird.
And like every now and then it pops into my head. I'm like, oh.
And another long film, like I watched that. I walked out the house. I'm like, it's dark. Of course it's dark. Everything's dark now.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, let's get back to
our
boy Howard.
Uncut Gems. Now, one of the good things is that if you've watched the trailer and you're thinking about watching the movie and you like the trailer, the movie does satisfy, does deliver.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, definitely. It is on that line of frustratingly
tense.
And whether or not, you know, how much can you stand watching a character you morally object to?
And it's strange because the opening scene of that young, I guess Nigerian, somewhere in
Ethiopian
Africa,
minor,
breaks his leg, and I thought, oh God, here we go, another blood diamond. Is this just going to be a blood diamond all over again? I mean, it sort of is, and it isn't. It's more about a guy who obviously lives in New York,
almost like a cosmic universal
thing about how
at play about sort of
money. Is it about money?
Like chaos. Control, randomness, and fate,
yes.
and how that all plays into it. Like, I don't think those Ethiopian miners knew that by unraveling this gem, the series of events that would happen after they took this gem.
Exactly.
And they
right.
put it into Howard's hands.
Is it like, to me at the core, I know this is probably a bit more ethereal. It's like, yeah, it's the power struggles of human beings trying to make it in a world where money is the overarching god, almost. Like
almost,
everyone's,
yeah.
Like, everyone's it's, hustling and fighting and, yeah, like, everybody's who's got this and
trying to
who
sort
owes
of
me?
Play hungry, hungry hippos yeah. for, like, that ounce of control in something that they in a really chaotic world
exactly
that you can't
right.
really control. And, you know... I think we can talk a lot about it. Like,
yeah, because it hit a lot of points in me in like what society has come to. And can you blame Howard for being who he is, guy who's trying to risk everything to always up his game or better
himself?
Well,
that's the thing I wanted to talk about, like near the end, especially when they do those two cosmic scenes at the end.
Man. Yeah.
And it kind of makes me think that maybe Howard is himself an uncut gem. Like, his beauty has yet to be refined and shown.
Dude.
But because he exists in this world, this is how it is.
Fucking beautiful, man. I really like that. And that's so true. And that's how you sort
that's
of
That's sort of
feel.
My theory about it,
yeah,
anyway.
Dude,
yeah,
I think that's a good correlation right there. And again, testament to your genius, my boy. I would never have made that because obviously I'm just looking at the character himself, but that's so true. Like, look at him, so fascinated with this.
It's so interesting
thing.
How, like, it sort of starts. And at the start, he's sort of reactive. And by the end, he's sort of
lets it go?
Taking more action.
Yeah.
Like, he's initiating a lot more. But it's so...
But he is such a pig. Like, he's cheating on his wife. You can see he sets
up his own chaos, man. Like, yeah.
His oldest son sort of becoming his old man, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
He's sort of into basketball. He's into gambling and betting. That adrenaline, the rush.
But you see how, like, how his family sort of looks at him like, you're a piece of shit.
Like, his
we're
daughter.
Not going to tell you to your face, but you're a piece of shit.
And again, all these subtle, like, double games of, like, the family's pretending to be happy on the surface, but deep down inside, his wife obviously despises him, thinks he's a pig, doesn't want to look
but
at
she
him.
She thinks it's like he's sort of drained all the respect out. And he's sort of left her cynical.
Yeah.
Like, she's almost like, she thinks of him like a joke.
Yeah, agreed. But in saying that, also, like, you see that point where he's like, you know, he's in tears and he's sick of hustling. He's sick of fucking constantly playing games and no one respects him. But he's doing all these things to fucking help all these people around him. No one really understands the actual work that goes into trying to make the money
to
have all these people around him.
What
right?
a hustle game looks like.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
But, oh man, like, he works the narrative. Sometimes he's pathetic, right? Sometimes he's absolutely pathetic.
Yeah.
And other times, he's just slimy and slippery, man.
But is that what society turns us into? Like his friend Damane, like, he's...
Like, you could...
Rolling cheap Rolex with these, you know...
You could definitely argue that he's a product...
Of his environment, right?
Like, he's what's being produced. He's that end of the spectrum.
He's in the niche
market. What made us... Obviously, there's going to be a worse version of that.
Yeah, and like, that's what I love about this character. He's so unrelatable to me. Like, I can see, you know, everyone considers themselves sort of an upright, righteous person. But obviously, out there in the world is this guy, Howard. And he's not upright. He's not righteous.
Yeah, he's like
constantly...
He's working the bottom of the barrel to get a win, you know? Like,
And with all the other characters are in the same boat, like the pawn shop owners.
Yeah.
They're obviously feeding on these people who have got a... at the bottom trying to pawn Howard's sort of at the top of that and he's still pawning everything left, right and center to get money
like,
in to try and make that big score.
You know that beauty, there's these bits that I love the most is that it's not a peaceful movie. There's barely sort of any moments of rest, and when there is sort of low moments, the engine is always sort of idling. He's always sort of working something in the background.
Yes.
But it's in these moments where he's just trying to get from A to B. And he's been constantly badgered, being constantly interrupted. And you see him, how he works and navigates and uses backtalk to get out of this situation. That's what makes him like a very compelling character that you want to follow. Just to see how he navigates.
How he works it.
Because you couldn't, there's no way. I think there was one scene, I think it was like 8 minutes, where he's on the phone with his doctor. Damani's coming in.
Yes, man, it's all happening around
him. Yeah, it's all happening all at once. And this is all organic, but it's chaotic. And it's so organic because all these things have been sort of foreshadowed within the movie already. So
and it's just all they're all coming at the one
point. Yeah, they're all peaking. And it's like, what a beautiful scene.
Right.
Yeah. But that was
all the pieces come together. You know, you learn about him.
You learn about the colonoscopy. You learn about the watches. You learn about he owes. You learn about KG. You learn, and it all sort of peaks in one scene. So what looks like a mess isn't. It's all been foreshadowed before.
And another, like you bring up Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett, obviously.
Kudos to Kevin Garnett.
Playing a great role.
But
he knows Kevin so well, doesn't he? Like, he understands what's driving Kevin. And because he's almost using Kevin to make more money because, you know, he gives him this uncut gem. And he knows that Kevin is, like, sort of, like, smitten
transfixed,
and obsessed by it. And he's going to make that game that night, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that obviously fails. And then the next time, he had this massive conversation where it's, your drive is the same drive as me. We're out there to win. We're out there to make the plays, right? And hit the scores because everyone else is against us. And he knew that speech was going to fucking tip Garnett
over.
It's like they were the two psychics.
He's a salesman, man. He's a good salesman,
of course,
dude.
A salesman.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
But special mention to Kevin Garnett. Most of the times I see sort of athletes that star in TV shows and movies, and they're very, very wooden.
They are whatever.
So like, it's very apparent.
Who's some outstanding, like Shaquille O'Neal? I find like Shaq, and always with Adam Sandler, Shaq,
I don't know,
plays a comedy role.
Shaq, I've seen the movie Kazam. And Steel. Like, oh, if anybody wants to see a black led superhero, Steel, if you're interested.
Okay.
Yeah, not many people have.
No.
Not many people should.
Yeah, but you're right. They generally play. LeBron was another great example in Trainwreck, I think it was. Yeah.
Well, was he? Trainwreck? LeBron was in Trainwreck?
Yeah.
I'm
pretty sure.
I don't want to watch that again.
Okay.
I don't want to watch that again. Just
I loved it. I fucking loved it.
Why do you
But you're right,
that
there are a lot of wooden.
Yeah, they are wooden, and it's very noticeable that there is a camera there. Like,
I am acting. Hello.
it just looks like they're not in the element.
Definitely.
But yeah, KG in this, and Julia Fox as well. First role,
and I'm in love.
She's fantastic.
She is good though. She plays.
Can you not be like a horny bastard?
I can't help it. She's so thick. But you're right. She plays.
And we're not talking about the scene that we're all thinking about.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. She does play. But she plays a nurturing character to Howard, which is
kind of. But she sort of has his impulses too. So you can see how he attracted someone like her.
Yeah.
Like, she has bad impulses just like Howard.
You're right. They're in the same world. There.
Yeah.
They like the chase and the adrenaline and the drama
that
of it all.
The thrill of the bet, man.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can see how Howard would appeal to her and why she would appeal to him. It's not so much about, you know, like, pimp daddies.
Opposites don't attract in this game. Like minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely recommend it.
I highly recommend this film. Fully enjoyed it. Wasn't expecting it to be as good as it was, to be honest.
Really?
I really wasn't. I'm like Adam Sandler in a serious role. I was sort of like, you know, you just have those fond memories of
because,
Adam
Sandler
making
a giggle.
Because
I watched the trailer and I was like, I hope it's as good as this.
Yeah.
And then I saw it and I was like, it's actually a little more deeper than I thought.
So how many uncut gems are you going to give it?
You know what? Like, I'd give it easy 7, but you can talk me into an 8. Like,
yeah,
you can definitely talk
me into
an 8.
I'm glad we're in the same ballpark in this one because I was 8 uncut gems out of 10. 100%.
Yeah, if there was like a movie intellectual out there that could like possibly break down this movie to its sort of little corner pieces, that little
that
nuggets.
That'll tip you over.
That'll definitely tip me over. Like,
okay.
Because there's a lot there. There's definitely a lot there.
Heaps there. And like, the ending will just destroy you and leave you
oh my God.
I love those films that just cut you off.
All right, fuck it. Spoiler warnings. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, fuck it.
Yeah, spoiler. Yeah. Okay.
Go watch it.
Okay.
Fucking let's go.
Let's go.
So, fucking pop shot right in the fucking head.
Just as you think he's won it all.
Fuck.
You think he's fucking made it.
But that's the thing. He had with a smile on his face, though. He had a smile on his face.
Yeah, you're right. You reckon he ended how he wanted it to end?
So this is probably the happiest he'll ever be from this situation, is the moment he wins, because it's the thrill
of
the bet. It's
like
getting
off, man. It's like the final.
It's not about the money figure. It's about the thrill of the bet and winning. And that's all that matters to a guy like this. So the moment he dies is probably the moment that he's as happiest as he possibly could be. Because you give a guy like that, that money, it's going to disappear like water again.
That's exactly
it's
right,
it's going to just slip through his fingers again. And he'll read, the cycle
exactly
continues.
That's exactly how he would want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the moment he dies is probably, like, I didn't like the ending.
I didn't like it either. I didn't like it. I wanted to see him just win, get the girl. But you're right. It wouldn't have ended that way.
It wouldn't have ended that way. You think this guy's going to turn it around?
Of course he's not.
He fucking... Dude, within like the first 15, 16... He had several chances to turn this around for him. And he chose not to. And that's his choice because he couldn't resist the bet. There was no way he was going to fix himself in the span of this movie.
Yes, man.
So this is the only proper ending.
Did you want to also go into that statement that we had off the stream where you're talking about how, you know, at the beginning there's this cosmic...
Oh, yeah.
Obviously
like,
the cosmic turns into his colon.
Yeah. So there's a little something here about, like, the strand of the universe and how we're all connected. And you can go into that, but, you know, like, I don't want to come off like, wank me.
No, of course not. But I think it's a good point that you were saying, like, it goes into this...
Yeah.
That he himself was an uncut gem. Yeah. Something to be tailored and cleaned up and could be beautiful.
His real beauty
and
still
presented.
Sort of hasn't been unearthed yet.
Exactly right. And really like that.
You know how him and the uncut gem are sort of tied together and the fabrics of the events are all tied together and everything has a place, but it doesn't look like it because when you're looking at it that close, it just looks like a bunch of chaos.
Yeah.
So there's a lot you can take away from that. Although I am interested in what happens to Julia now.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought too.
Is that what we're thinking?
Is she just going to get blasted or is she going to take the money and enjoy
herself?
Yeah,
is she going to be responsible? Is she going to learn from what Howard did and turn it around? Or is she just going to be another?
We'll never know.
These are the things that left me thinking for days, man. I just couldn't.
Maybe, not for me days, but definitely I went to bed thinking, well, I really enjoyed that. I like those cut endings where you
drove to work stressed out.
You get to make...
You know what? I should have prefaced the fact that I wouldn't recommend watching this after a stressful day at work.
Or wouldn't you?
Oh, I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
It doesn't really escape. It brings
unwind.
Up familiar feelings. it brings up these familiar feelings. You know, if you got it, like if you're fresh from a fight with your missus and your kids, coming home from a stressful day at work. I can't say you're going to have a great time, man.
Definitely
I can't.
Not. This
maybe leave it for the weekend.
But maybe that's what you need to reflect on yourself.
Leave it for Friday night.
A few drinks.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like maybe if you know what? You don't need alcohol to enjoy the movie. maybe give yourself a break and just breathe heavy. And if you're going to, maybe the best is to watch it early. And then switch on a family movie afterwards to balance the...
Or even go for an exercise or something.
To balance
get all that tension out of your body.
Yeah, well, maybe afterwards you can watch fucking Jack and Jill. Like,
yes, all for it. Can you do your best Woody Allen? Because all I was thinking watching all the Jewish people...
Do you know what the world is like these days? You want me to fucking...
I like how we, like, last episode we were bashing on Nazis. Now we can...
Yeah, now we're bashing on
even
Jews.
The,
I don't
even
think
the,
people are going to appreciate the humor.
But all right.
Yeah.
We'll leave on that note.
Yeah, we good?
We good.
All right, sweet.
Peace out, movers and shakers.
Have fun.